total, unreserved worship and service. And that is always the way to the deepest meaning and the deepest joy.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The Old Testament religion was sacrificial from the beginning. As you read the Old Testament, you learn altars were built, animals were slain, and blood was shed long before Moses ever systematized that teaching in what we know as the Law of Moses. Through all of those experiences, no Jew could have failed to learn the fundamental lesson that was intended by God in this educative process. The lesson was this: the life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17 and verse 11. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, Hebrews 9 and verse 22. There can be no forgiveness of our sins apart from the letting of blood, the expenditure of life. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the shedding of blood is the symbol of that death. But the Old Testament only foreshadowed or foretold in symbolic form what would be achieved finally and ultimately and literally in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament sacrifices were a shadow. Jesus Christ is the substance. When Jesus faced the cross, he said, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." John 12, verses 27 and 28. And you know, that was a critical juncture in the ministry and function of our Lord Jesus Christ, the redemptive function of our Lord Jesus Christ as he came into our world, as he faced the cross. And you know, every one of us are given opportunities to respond in the self-same way. We come to those critical junctures in our life, those important occasions in which it's absolutely critical that we yield everything we have to the Son of God, that we're willing, if need be, to shed our blood for the glory of God. And we're faced with the same two questions. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? That's what many modern Christians say. Whenever the critical moments come, they say, "Father, save me from this hour," and they run away. Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name," and he laid down his life. And that's what every one of us needs to learn to do as well. And when Jesus came to the cross and he made that statement, it was there on the cross that he shed his blood. And I want to talk about the efficacy of that blood for the next few moments. Now, as I look at Hebrews 9 and verse 14, I believe that four reasons are given for the special and unique efficacy of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let me share them with you quickly. We begin first with a special person. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of bulls and goats, which is mentioned there in verse 13, was adequate to expiate or remove, is what that term means, ceremonial guilt. But it was inadequate to expiate or remove moral guilt. It failed to remove the true guilt of sin and provide inward cleansing. You see, the value of the life is the measure of the value of the blood. What is the value of the life of a bull or a goat in comparison to the value of the life of Jesus Christ? There is an infinity attached to Christ's being, and that means that there is an infinity attached to Christ's blood. It possesses infinite value and efficacy because of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ of Nazareth was not simply a human carpenter. He is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. And because there is that infinity attached to his being, there is that infinity attached to his blood. There is a current, contemporary, immediate relevancy and power attached to his blood. And any man, woman, or child who's not yet been brought under the protective covering of that blood can be. And they can expect that it will have efficacy and value and power because of who Jesus Christ is. There is a special person here. That's the first reason why it has unique efficacy and power, the blood of Jesus. Secondly, there is a special presence. Do you notice? The Bible says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God." There's a special presence, and it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. That eternal Spirit provides for us eternal refuge as he leads us to the eternal Christ. One, there's a special person here. It's the blood of Christ. Two, there's a special presence here, the presence of the eternal Spirit. And then there's a third reason, and that is there's a special perfection here. The Bible says that through the eternal Spirit, he did something. He offered himself without spot to God. And as I look at that phrase, what do you see when you look at that phrase? He offered himself without spot to God. As I look at that phrase, there are two words that come to my mind. The first is the word voluntary. The Bible says he offered himself. The second is the word virtuous. He offered himself without spot. It was a virtuous, filled with virtue, filled with purity. Virtuous. It was a virtuous sacrifice without spot to God. Not only was there no coercion, there was no corruption. And this spotlessness is not an outward and a physical thing, as in the Levitical sacrifices, but it's an inward and an ethical thing, because the character of Jesus Christ is beyond all question, blameless throughout his earthly life. It's a special term. Amomos is the word. The offering of Jesus was blameless. It was perfect, not simply in an outward and physical sense, but an inward and ethical sense. It means that only the best is fit to offer God, and Jesus Christ is the best of all. That's why there's an eternal efficacy attached to his blood. I want to go a step further and say this. This word, amomos, is a word that is not only used of Jesus Christ, but it's used of you and me. We are taught by that word that we received life from Jesus Christ in order to make it a sacrifice to God. God gave us a precious and powerful new way of life in order that we might give that life back to him in sacrificial service. Amomos thinks of the whole Christian man as an offering to God, the whole Christian woman, the whole Christian young person or teenager as an offering to God. It thinks of taking every part of his life, his work, his pleasure, his sport, his home life, his personal relationships, and making them all such that they are fit for the presence of God and can be offered to him. Amomos, without spot. And that's a third reason why the blood of Jesus Christ has special, powerful, eternal efficacy. Now, there's a final reason, and that is there's a special product here. And as I look at that special product, it's twofold. Jesus' finished work on the cross, the shedding of his blood, accomplishes what no animal could accomplish. One, it accomplishes a cleansed conscience. It will purge your conscience from dead works. And it induces us to live a consecrated life to serve the living God. That's why John the Baptist could point to Jesus Christ and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." What does it mean to have our conscience purged or cleansed? The blood of Jesus Christ will purge your conscience from dead works. What does it mean to have our conscience purged or cleansed? A man's conscience is cleansed when he realizes that his personal moral guilt, your guilt and mine, his personal and moral guilt, and the liability, the penalty attached to it, has been paid for and removed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and then takes refuge in that truth by receiving that Christ as his own personal Lord and Savior. In that moment, his conscience is cleansed. The flood of forgiveness and the flood of cleansing and the flood of understanding that comes to him when he receives Christ in that way, when he recognizes that even though he's a guilty, vile, defiled sinner and his conscience is defiled, he recognizes that even though he is that, that his personal moral guilt was borne by Jesus Christ and the penalty he ought to pay was assumed by Jesus when he shed his blood. The moment he places his faith in that truth and receives that Christ as his own Lord and Savior, in that moment there is that flood of forgiveness, that flood of cleansing, and that flood of understanding which delivers him theologically and emotionally from the tyranny of a defiled conscience. He's cleansed. The blood of bulls and goats could never do that. But the blood of the eternal Son of God did it. And does it for every one of us when we trust him as Lord and Savior. Once that battle is won, once his conscience is cleansed and clear, he knows he's forgiven. Once that battle is won, he's no longer performing dead works. You know what dead works are? Dead works are works performed in the energy of the flesh in our attempt to impress men, make ourselves fit to stand before God and pacify our conscience. And they never work because they're dead works. They're impotent. You know what we have to do? We have to exchange our dead works for the dynamic work of Jesus Christ achieved on the cross. And then we can have our conscience purged, cleansed, made clean, fully and finally forgiven. And once that battle is won and we're no longer performing dead works, then we are free to begin serving the living God. You know that word to serve? I'm almost finished now. That word to serve there is the word which means to dedicate or give one's whole life to something or someone. That's what the Greek word means. It means to dedicate or give one's whole life to something or someone. In the Bible, it is always used of the service and the worship of God. So the author of Hebrews is telling us, once a man is cleansed, that's step one. Thank God for it. He has a cleansed conscience. But that's to lead him to a consecrated life. Once a man is cleansed, it is his proud privilege and awesome responsibility to consecrate his life to God in total, unreserved worship and service. And that is always the way to the deepest meaning and the deepest joy. So what are we taught in Hebrews 9:14? We're taught that there is a special efficacy and value attached to the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're taught that that is true for four reasons. One, there is a special person, it's the blood of Christ. Two, there is a special presence, the eternal Spirit. Three, there is a special perfection. He offered himself without spot to God. It was voluntary and it was virtuous. And fourth, there is a special product that grows out of it, a cleansed conscience. He will purge your conscience from dead works. And a consecrated life to serve the living God. Let me ask you this. Have you ever taken the necessary step to bring yourself under the protective covering of the blood of Jesus Christ? Now that's a powerful question, and every one of us has to answer it. Without the judicial application of that shed blood to your account in the courtroom of heaven, without the judicial application of that shed blood to your account, you will face the judgment of God all alone. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what he did for you in shedding his blood will exempt you from that judgment and introduce you to a prosperous and bountiful way of life. If you've never done that, our invitation is for you to come to Christ and receive him, to have your conscience purged and cleansed from dead works and be introduced to that new and bountiful and fruitful way of life. You say, Pastor, I am a Christian. I'm saved. You are a Christian. And that's good. But do you offer to God the whole of your life? Would you say, Pastor, my life is amomos, without spot to God? Do you offer to God the whole of your life and the very best of your life? You have been cleansed. Wonderful. Thank God. Have you consecrated your life to God in worship and service? Or do you keep the very best for yourself and give to him the remainder? We must always ask ourselves, how can I look at Calvary and keep back anything for myself?
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We have acceptance, that's peace. We have access, that's grace. And we have assurance, the hope of ultimate and eternal glory.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.